the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, our meditation will be focused on our epistle, especially beginning with verse 18, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Dear saints, if last week we focused on the red carpet question, hey, who are you wearing? And the answer is, I'm wearing Christ. I'm baptized. I look good before the Father because I'm wearing Him. I will look good because I'm wearing Christ before the Father. And so therefore, I should look good and act good. If the question was, who are you wearing last week? Then the question this week is, what are you drinking? What is filling you up? Now first, dear saints, let's make this clear, that this is not a sermon against alcohol. And in fact, there's going to be amazing things that are going to be listed here in which the Lord is not against hardly any of them, but He is against the abuse of them. You see, He is the giver. And when we get confused, the gift and the giver, then we are sinning. So that He is the source of our comfort, of our strength, and of our courage. He is the giver and not His gifts. The pain is real. And so is the weakness. And so is the fear. The Scriptures never reject that. And in fact, they confirm it over and over and over again. Just read the Psalms. Or there's this beautiful phrase in our epistle that sums everything up. It says, the days are evil. But when the pain hits, when the fear hits, when the recognition of weakness hits, what bottle do you reach for? What do you look for to help numb the pain, escape the problem, or give you courage to face the world? And alcohol is certainly not the only bottle that some can reach for. Though it is one, it can be one. Painkillers can be another common bottle that we have, but that's just speaking literally, literal bottles that we could reach for. Figuratively and in reality, the list would have no end. The things that we reach for to numb the pain, to escape the problem, or to give us courage to face the world. To numb the pain, we often use excess things. Numb the pain through excess sleep. Numb the pain through excess food. Numb the pain through excess pampering of ourselves through shopping. I need more to make me feel better. Excess. You could fill in the blank with meaningless sex or the vanity of pornography to numb the pain as well. Numb the pain, escape the problem. The problem is real. We could escape it by simply pretending like we don't care anyway. You don't care about me. They don't care about me. My job doesn't care about me. The Lord doesn't care about me. Well, then I don't care about you. If that's how it's going to be. Or we could escape the problem by letting entertainment through TV shows, sports, video games, the internet, help us leave reality for a little bit. Or you can escape the problem with the family by pouring yourself into work. Or you can escape the problem with work by pouring yourself into family. You can escape, that's the problem, I'm going to go that way. What do you reach for to numb the pain? Escape the problem, or seek courage to face the world? Perhaps one of the most common ways to seek courage is for you to be convinced that it's not your fault anyway, and you can't do anything about it anyway. It's not my fault, it's their fault, and they have a lot of fixin' to do in this world. We could also seek to face courage by relying so heavily on the gifts that our Lord has given to us in His people. His people, His wonderful people that He has surrounded us with, we can look to them for our ultimate courage to face the world. Now, I'm not you. The list is going to stop there. Maybe I didn't list the thing that you look to numb the pain, escape the problem, or seek courage to face the world. Maybe I named several of them. I'm not you. But to give you a bit of an illustration, to help you dig deeper on maybe some of the things that you look to surface level, so that you can begin to meditate on the deeper things, I'm going to let you know that when I get stressed, when I have real pain, real stress, real heartache, I look to the Baconator. I don't like fast food most of the time. But when the stress hits, when the pain is real, I want to go to Wendy's. The Baconator. To fill the pain. There's this amazing hunger for something. So you can begin to think about what you reach for as well. It might be on the phone. It might be on the TV. It might be within the people. It might be within the fridge. Dear saints, consider for yourselves. The pain is real. Real pain in this world. Feelings of broken families, feelings of dead-end jobs, feelings of pointless jobs. There's illnesses. There's hurting bones. There's hurting joints. There's lack of self-esteem. There's peer pressure. And there's pressure all around. You do, after all, have to care. And the list of things that you have to care about is completely overwhelming. You have to care about your health and your home and your job and your kids and your marriage and your church and your parents and your friends. And there's people that are suffering from hurricanes all over the world. And now there's the Zika virus and the environment and your country, your state, your city, your community, your house. And oh, by the way, you also have to care about the entire world and everyone in it. And add to this a very haunting fact that in everything and with everybody, you yourself are a sinner. And so you're going to sin against them and you're going to sin in doing those things. The pain is real, but so is the guilt. The guilt is real too. Being overwhelmed, that is real. But failing is also real. You fail because you don't do enough. You fail because you do the wrong things. And what happens? What happens for you to help numb the pain, escape the problem, or seek courage in the midst of all of that? Here again. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Paul commands something wonderful. For as we look through the bottles, we are constantly to look to God Himself and His Word to be the one that fills us. The promise is that nothing else is big enough to fill you. Everything else will leave you feeling a little empty. Everything else will leave you feeling a little guilty. God Himself is the one who fills you. Nothing else is big enough, including the Baconator. We do not, however, dear saints, we don't seek God and His Word enough. We don't do it enough. And so our Lord tells us this wonderful thing that we are to address one another. You see, I know you. I know you enough. I know that you're a sinner. And I know that you don't look to God and His Word enough to be the one that fills you. So our Lord commands me to do something. He tells me to address you in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, the things that fill. And then He tells you, because you know me, and you know I'm a sinner, and you know that I am going to constantly be looking to things that fill me in all of the wrong places, He tells you to address me in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The pain is real. The guilt is real. The feeling of emptiness is real. So our Lord gives us this wonderful cycle, that He gives us His Spirit, that He comes from above to give us His Spirit, His Word, and He enters and He fills your hearts that are so guilty, that so often look to the wrong bottles. He fills that heart with Himself, His forgiveness, and then He fills it up so much that it breaks out and it makes melody to the Lord with the heart. And then He pours that voice, that heart that is singing with His joy, His peace that passes all understanding. It pours forth from your heart into your voice so that others hear it and it enters their ears and it fills their hearts so that that is then filled and that breaks forth in the voice and then it enters your ears and enters your heart and that breaks forth. It is this beautiful cycle that fills. That is where satisfaction, true joy, true peace comes from. As we address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it started from above, it cycles all throughout His Christian church, and then it finally breaks out to God the Father, giving thanks to Him and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it comes back down. And the cycle repeats over and over and over again. You come to church, dear saints. You speak with Christian brothers and sisters, dear saints. You sing. You pray. You come to Bible study because you need filled. And we so often look to the wrong things. And so then we build each other up with God's Word to fill our emptiness. The pain is real, and so is the guilt. Bring that feeling. Bring the pain, and bring the guilt, and bring the shame. And watch it all be poured into a cup. Watch the wrath of God that you deserve for all of the times that you look to the wrong bottle. Watch the wrath of God be poured for all of the times that you did not do enough and that you did the wrong thing. Watch it be poured into a cup, the true wrath and condemnation of God. And ask yourself, who would want to drink such a cup? And then hear your Lord Jesus kneeling with blood coming down in the form of sweat, begging His Father, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." But it was the will of the Father to drink that cup, for His Son to drink that cup. all so that you might be filled with his cup. His blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Our Lord Jesus, the one in whom the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, drank that cup to death and condemnation, and he is risen and he has ascended far above all heavens so that he might fill all things. He fills you today with his word and his spirit. He gives you his cup to drink. You have been filled in Christ. Look it up. Colossians 2:10. That's not just a word from your pastor. That's a passage in the Bible. You have been filled in Christ. That is a promise. The false solutions don't fill. So consider your guilt in seeking fulfillment in all of the wrong battles. The pain is real, though. So bring the pain and bring the guilt. And hear a portion of our Old Testament reading one more time. Consider that. Meditate as you hear these words. Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me here, that your soul may live. Lord, may your body and in your blood be for my soul the highest good. In Jesus' name.